Welcome on In Power, the podcast where I receive every week inspired and inspiring guests to help you take the power of your life. I am really glad to welcome you on this second English episode of In Power, as more and more are to come. Today's guest is Lauren Tickner, an entrepreneur, blogger and personal branding expert who managed at only 21 years old to turn her passion into a full-time career. In this episode, we discuss with Lauren lots of things, many personal things actually, from looking back to our childhood, the education we received, how we learned to step away from people's opinions and create our own path. Lauren shares in this episode all her best tips to learn to live from your passion, thanks to all the reading and testing she has done herself and what she advises now to her clients. I think what Lauren shows us best in this episode is no matter your age, you can start to live the life you want and not the one you feel obliged to have. I really hope you will enjoy this episode, and if so, it would mean the world if you could leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the podcast on the app you are currently using. And without further ado, I am glad to introduce you to Lauren Tickner. So hi Lauren, and welcome on the In Power podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited and I'm honored to be on a French podcast.
Mais yeah.
J'ai oublié tu la langue.
At least you're trying. That's really good. So Lauren, I wanted just to start by asking you, what's the one thing people do not know about you
that you feel like sharing?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm just a massive nerd, and I know we were talking about this yesterday, but I feel like a lot of people don't know that about me because I don't think I share it too much on social media, but I'm literally such a loser. I will sit there for hours and hours at night just researching all these random things. Like, we were talking about it just now. I was researching a couple of nights ago about microdosing, and it's not something that I'm ever going to do myself, but I was just researching it, learning about how the brain works. And so I guess that's one thing about me. Another thing about me is I'm really open about talking about pooing.
About what?
Pooing.
Ah! Well, at least now our listeners know, but I quickly, you know, I find it interesting what you said. Like, you first said you were a nerd, and then you said, I'm such a loser. Mm. And I find it, like, really interesting to see how we ended up linking both.
That's such a good point.
You know, when I believe this is maybe why people are not proud anymore to say like they like to read, or like they're really intellectual or academic people, because it's attached to the idea of being like a loser or like not being accepted, and I don't really know like why we don't just embrace it, because like it's not something to be ashamed of, like on the contrary.
Yeah, I guess it all stems back down from school, doesn't it? Because if you're in school and you're trying hard and working hard, like I did, then it's often frowned upon. And I think the reason why I'm such a nerd and all that is because my school was very pushy and my school embraced it, which is amazing. And it was cool because in my school, it was seen as good to be a nerd. Whereas I think kind of in common culture and just in life, for example, we see it in movies where the person who's really smart is always nerdy, has no friends, is always a bit of a loser. And so I guess it's down to that, isn't it? It's just down to culture. But I do think nowadays, for example, people who are listening to this podcast now, they're obviously ready to stimulate their brain and they want to learn more. And I think it is becoming more and more cool, as it were, to actually be a nerd. And I love it. It's really, it's cool because, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah, because we're both the same and we both love learning and we both love reading and we both love discovering new things.
Yeah, I think just people realize there was no shame in like being passionate about something.
Mm.
And that's usually like what people who are nerds, if we can even define what a nerd is, because I feel like we cannot, is really something like that they should pursue and really not be being ashamed of. And well, if someone is listening and is a nerd, you can be proud of it.
Hell yeah. And also I think if you're a nerd and you have one particular topic, just dive in deep on that, because the people who always are kind of, I suppose, the most successful in whatever it is that they do, they found one thing that they love and they just literally go all in on it.
Yeah, and I think this is really something we are not encouraged to do, just because like we are so conditioned to think
that a different path is too risky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy how I realized, but not that long ago, that whatever your passion is, whatever it is, whether it is cooking, whether it is like writing books, or even something even more unusual,
yeah,
as like, long as you do it like with passion, I swear you will make it.
I agree for sure, 100%. It's like, it's so funny that you bring this up, because I used to work at one of the best asset management firms in the UK. And I just remember saying, I really think that in the long term, I'm not going to work in asset management. And I think I'll actually work in fitness. And because this is back a few years ago when I was just obsessed with fitness, and fitness was everything that I was doing. It was the only type of content that I was creating on social media. I had around, I don't know, followers, it doesn't matter. But just to put it into perspective, I did have already a bit of a following, around 10,000 followers on social media at this stage. And so I was like, yeah, I can go all in on this. I'm going to make a career out of fitness. And I just remember somebody turning around and saying to me, and this is one of my managers saying, you don't want to do fitness, you don't want to mix your passion and your job. And I listened to this guy for so long, because I was like, it's so true, because if I mix my passion and my job, then I'm going to start hating my passion and it will feel like a chore to me. But in hindsight, I can see how wrong he was, because now that I've mixed my passion and my job, I am happy every single day. I absolutely love what I do. And it's just possible to literally turn anything into your life. It truly is.
When did you actually had that realization and made that shift? Because you're still quite young. So I'm really interested in knowing, like, if there was really a trigger for you, or if it was, you know, an addition of different things?
I think it's just, I mean, I never realized this about myself, which is kind of funny, but everyone always says that I'm very self-aware. And it's funny that I say that I don't realize it, because it's me not being self-aware, because I'm not self-aware that I'm self-aware, if that makes sense. But basically, I just realized, you know what, I need to quit this job. And what happened was, I got into a university to study economics and politics. But what I did is I then changed my degree to a business degree. So I changed it to business administration. And this was while I was working in the job. So I pretty much took a gap year between school and then going to university. And in this gap year, I was working in asset management. And just in that year, I can't tell you how unhappy I was. I was going to work every day. I had to leave the house at 6 a.m. to get a train at something like 6:21 or something. I'd be walking down, and I just vividly remember one day a lorry, was a big old truck, was driving past. It was pouring down with rain, and literally this lorry just splashed me. You know when they drive through a puddle and you just get drenched? And I was soaking wet, head to toe. I then had to go to work all day, absolutely drenched, and I just burst into tears. And this was like a massive breaking point for me, because I was like, if I'm at 6 a.m, in floods of tears because I'm going to a job that I hate, and one, just getting splashed is making me cry. Like, that just shows how in that moment I was in such a bad headspace.
I feel like this is such a great metaphor.
Yeah.
Of life.
Life, right?
Like, life sending you a sign.
A sign, exactly. And so pretty much quite soon after that, I quit my job, and I was just like, I just realized the only reason I really, truly, honestly went to university was to make friends. And I said that going in, and obviously for any listeners right now, I have dropped out of university and I've quit my corporate job twice, because I've just come to realize that, as ridiculous as it sounds, and we were talking about this last night, but the expression YOLO is literally the most true thing ever. You only have this one life. Why would you want to live a life where every single day you're waking up hating it and you're literally wanting to cry? And that's how I felt. And I remember my parents turning around to me and saying, Lauren, you're not the same Lauren that we used to know, because I was so unhappy in this corporate job. And then the reason why I dropped out of university isn't because I hated it. I absolutely loved it, but I realized that I can achieve so much more if I'm truly following this passion and diving all in. And look, some people, you're going to have to go through periods of your life where you're doing a job that you hate to earn the money, right? Because you're going to have to pay your bills. And then you might have to go to university if you want to go for a particular reason, or because you love it, like whatever. I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong thing to do. It's as long as you're happy and as long as you're able to live doing that thing, and as long as it feels satisfying to you, that's what's important to me. And so just bringing it back down to your question, I don't think there was ever a particular moment. It's just that I realized that I had so much to give and that there was so much I could truly help people with if I took my life into my own hands and just rode with it and just went all in on it.
It's really interesting to see that you really just started by making all the decisions you were expected to make, and how you know, were really looking to have like this university kind of moment in life and like make new friends and what we really expect from us at this age, and having the realization, or maybe just the doubts you first had that we probably all go through, you embrace it and you really listen to yourself. What would be maybe your advices for people going through the same period of doubts? What can, like, even just where can they start?
I guess the biggest thing is, what is other people going to think about me? What are they going to think if I drop out of university? What are they going to think if I choose to take a different path? And it's this constant battle between truly wanting to be your authentic self and wanting to please other people and wanting to fit in with other people. And I can tell you now, I've never felt like I've fitted in. I've always felt like not being big-headed or whatever, but I've always been friends with, like, the popular girls in school. And, like, that's just the people that I've hung around with. That's the people that I get in with. I've always been, like, always laughing, cracking jokes, like, just being kind of more of a funny person and being loud. And all my friends are like that as well. And I've never, at the same time, despite the fact that I was so loud, I think it was kind of a mask because I felt so, like, as though everyone wasn't really engaging with what I was saying. I've always felt like if I was sitting in a group of, let's say that we were sat around in a circle, like I was kind of sat back a bit. Like I was kind of watching in and I just felt like I was a bit different to everybody else. And it's only become evident to me now that that's actually a good thing. Mm. I mean, not necessarily a good thing. It's fine, whatever. I'm not judging anyone here, but it's really just allowed me to get to grips with that. And now the fact that I'm different, I think it's what makes you yourself, and it's what makes you able to create these cool things, like, and to relate to other people who feel the same way, for anyone who's listening now. And so I guess, like, the main thing is honestly just realizing other people don't really care about what it is that you're doing. They just want to get on with their lives just like you want to get on with yours. And just don't let them stop you. And we were actually talking about this on the podcast that you, when Louise came on my podcast, we talked about this exact topic. But people are going to judge you. That's just a fact of life. And it's just how people are. But if you're going through a period of time where you're worried about what other people are going to think, you just can't care about that. You just have to embrace the thing that you want to do. Because like I just said, it is one life. And if you're constantly worrying about what other people think, you're just going to be holding yourself back. And so I guess another thing is truly knowing why you want to do what you want to do. Because if you know why you're going to be doing it, then obviously you can share that message. And when you can share why you're doing something, people are able to connect with you on a much deeper level and they're able to get it. Like there's a great speech and a great book by a man called Simon Sinek called Start With Why. And he pretty much talks all about why you need to...
I know this book.
It's great.
He really talks about... that the why is the starting point of everything you do, anything you do in life.
It's absolutely everything. So it always brings you back down to why am I doing what I'm doing? Because when you know your why, not only are you able to get through the tough times because you know deep down why you're doing what you're doing. So let's just say you're trying to get in shape. Okay, well, why do I want to get in shape? If your why is because I just want to feel a little bit better, or something, then it's not going to really drive you through. Whereas if your why is, I want to be able to grow up healthy, see my kids as they grow up, I want to be able to see my great-grandchildren, I want to be able to play with my kids, and it's something that's so deep lying, then you're going to keep at it and it's going to mean more to you and you're going to enjoy the journey. And I guess this is my third point, is just enjoy the journey. What's the point in doing something if you're not enjoying the actual process of it? Because it sounds all well and good to achieve this big outcome and this big goal, but if you're hating every moment of the thing that is getting you towards that end goal, then it's pointless and it's not going to be something that's going to allow you to live your best life. And I think that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, I totally feel you. But like, we're now talking about the people who found their why.
Mm.
But what about the people who maybe haven't found it yet?
Mm.
What would you advise them to do?
I guess it's just thinking about, what do you actually want to achieve from life? You know, do you want to inspire people? Do you want to educate people? Or are you just perfectly happy working a day-to-day job but having free time on the weekend where you can spend it with your loved ones? Do you want to, I don't know, like whatever it is, it's like trying to visualize yourself in 5 years from now. This is something that I practice with myself every week. So let's just say it's 5 years from now. What I want you to do, and every listener right now, I want you to do this. I want you to imagine 5 years from now, and rather than saying, I will be living in LA, or I will be living in Paris, say, I am. So bring it to the present. So think about everything in life. I am living in LA. I am married to my boyfriend or something. I am earning however much you want to earn. I am, like, and then just imagine your day. So I am waking up at 6 a.m. and going for a morning run. I am then coming back and having coffee and breakfast with my husband or whatever it is. And then I am then sitting on my laptop recording 3 podcasts and just basically create your perfect day 5 years from now. Because then when you know what your perfect day is 5 years from now and you bring it back down to that present moment, then you're able to every single day create the steps in order for you to get there. Because if you're pretty much knowing where you want to go, then you can create the exact, you can basically make that life for yourself. Every day you'll be getting closer and closer, you'll be taking a smaller and smaller step to get to that end outcome. And I think that's what it's all about. And then I think you'll figure out, you know, why, how to do what you want to do and why you want to do it. It's about knowing where you want to go and visualizing it.
Yeah, I truly believe in the power of visualization, but what I'm afraid is that where is the line between what we are dreaming of,
mm-hmm,
and the actual reality of it? And I think this is a mistake so many of us, like a trap so many of us can fall in, is like fantasming, is that a word?
It's like dreaming.
Dreaming about, yeah, a perfect life.
Yeah.
And what would happen, like, in the best situation possible. And then work your ass off to make this realization, to make this dream a realization, and then just realize it was not as you expected it.
Yeah,
it would
I
be.
Agree. For
just
sure.
Because whether you set too high expectations or just you realize this was not what mattered in the end.
Yeah,
and that's why I really, like, I do believe we need to imagine it and visualize it. But I really think we need to experience it in some way, especially if we want to change path or we are unsure of what we want to do and we are thinking about what would make us happy. Like, instead of going all in and maybe stop everything we're doing just because, you know, we visualized what our life could be if we quit everything and went all in for the thing we think we really wish for, and just experience it.
Yeah, I
maybe
agree.
Try, you know, on the side, how it would work, how it you know, the just the day-to-day process, we would, I think,
be so much happier. And I agree.
At least, like, we have so much less chances of ending up unhappy plus guilty about the fact that we didn't understand why we're not happy, because we were so sure it was, like, the thing we wanted to do and the happiness and the success we felt we were going to have.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. This is something that, I guess, because of the fact that I've quit 2 corporate jobs and because I've dropped out of university, I get a lot of people asking me about this type of thing. And the one thing that I always say to them is start with it as your quote unquote side hustle. Because if you have it as your side hustle, then you'll know if it's what you truly want to do. So for example, for me, I had my Instagram and my YouTube on the side before I dove in deep on it. And I made sure that I was in a financial position before quitting my job and all that stuff to actually be able to, you know, pay for my bills and all that type of stuff before I actually dove in deep on it. And so I think that is absolutely critical. And then when it comes to visualization, I think what you said about kind of when you actually get there, it's not going to be as good as you think it is. And I truly believe that in the majority of cases, that is it. You know, it's like when you're like, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 2 stone. And then you get down to that weight on the scale and you're not happy. You're no happier because you haven't worked on yourself. And so that's why when I'm doing that visualization process, I always like to think about my mindset as well. And mindset is massive for me. And I always try to think, okay, how is my mind going to feel? Am I truly building relationships? And it's not just about this whole career thing. It's not just about...
And you truly manage to get in the mindset you would have? Because I find it so hard. I can imagine, but I cannot live the moment I've never lived it.
Yes, exactly. And because I think if you're visualizing how you want your mindset to be, then it allows you to bring that to the present so that when you get to this place where you want to get to, you've already, like you mentioned, you've already experienced that mindset. And I think it's also just being very aware. Like,
if you're dreaming, oh, I really want to earn €100,000 or £100,000 this year. Well, okay, why do you want to earn that much money? Or, oh, I really want this job. Okay, why do you want that job? Is it because it's gonna add value to other people's lives and it's gonna help you on that path to self-actualization? Or is it gonna be because it's gonna fuel your ego and it's gonna make you be able to say, oh, I'm the manager of this company? Because if it's just for a title or if it's just for your own ego, then I can tell you now, you're not going to feel happy when that happens, because it shows that there's a lot of work that you need to do inside your own mind when you're constantly thinking about yourself. And I think it's really just kind of thinking about, okay, what value am I able to add to other people's lives? How am I able to just truly, truly live this life that is fulfilling to me?
You know what's crazy, that there is such a fuss around training our bodies nowadays.
Mm.
And actually that's a good thing, like to feel really healthy. From the out. But there's so not many things about training our minds, whereas I think it's like 90% of the battle.
Yeah, it's critical. And I think if you're in a bad mindset, then that can make you sick in itself. That can make you ill, you know, things like depression, despite the fact that you can't see it. And I've suffered from anxiety and panic disorder my whole life. And so this is why I'm so passionate about the mindset side of things. And just that whole, that's what I suppose I'm all about. It's like being physically and mentally healthy and then also living a life that you love. And just kind of living your passion, right? And it's not about living your dreams. I don't think you should try live your dreams. I think you should, you know, dreams are just dreams. They're nothing if you don't take action. But you can't take this action and you can't try and live this life that you want to live, this life that you love, if you aren't in the right mindset. And it all boils down to mindset. And it's something that I think is really hard to work on. And I'm such a believer that listening to podcasts has helped my mindset massively. Another thing that helps my mindset is having a solid morning routine, as ridiculous as that sounds, but it helps so much. And then also going for walks and journaling. I think journaling for me has been the number one thing. I don't know if you journal.
I did, but I just... No, it was not for me.
Really?
Because...
Did you try it for a long time?
I just felt bad on bad days.
Yeah.
Being forced to write down what has happened and why I felt bad. So it's really not for me. I'd much rather put some sharing music on, seeing some good friends, like distracting myself, actually.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, than journaling. But podcasts definitely helped me. And what I'm going to try to do now, and like this is a promise I'm making to myself, is even taking notes, you know, from podcasts. Because when I listen to podcasts and I find like really interesting what people say, and I'm like, oh, this is so true, like, or they share like great tips.
Yeah.
I totally like think I'm gonna remember it.
Do you not take it?
No, I don't.
I take so
just,
many.
Just because I didn't want like to feel like it was like a duty or a work. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I take notes when something really stands out.
Yeah, now I'm just like, I'm afraid I just gonna miss out on so much if I don't have like some kind of material listening to it. Because when you listen to it, and you know, some of the stuff I remember, of course, because some of the stuff really like stick with you.
Yeah.
But some just like you think it will, and you know, life just goes on and you don't really think about it anymore. So I think this is something I'm going to start doing.
Because listeners should as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be amazing, like maybe only after 6 months, reading at all the things you wrote and just
remembering.
This is like a life sheet, you know? It's like the best advices from inspiring people you can apply or not to your own life and realize what works for you or not.
I agree. And I think the best way to learn is just to learn through somebody else, because it's all what I'm such a believer in trying things, testing things, doing things to learn for yourself. But if someone else has already tried, tested and done all these things, then you can learn through them. And that's exactly what you can do on these podcasts. Look, I've tried so much stuff to improve my mindset, but the things, and obviously not everything that works for me is going to work for you. But the fact of the matter is, people have tested things, people have tried things, and there is a common theme about what works, I find. I think the things that always pop up when it comes to kind of mindset is like going for walks, meditating, journaling. And obviously journaling doesn't work for you, but it works for me, right?
Yeah, but I feel like this is such also a cultural thing, and
okay,
like morning routines and yeah, journaling and meditation yeah, is so American.
Yeah,
like this really, when I was in California, this is really something people preach.
Yeah,
but it's just so not the case in France.
Mm.
Like people are starting doing yoga, but you'll never hear people like say, I have a very specific morning routine, I meditate every day, and like doing all these kinds of routine things.
Yeah,
I guess. So I feel like it's really about testing
what works.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
It's like, it's great to take inspiration from people, but then again, people can feel bad if it's not working. I remember when I tried meditating.
It doesn't work for me.
I actually felt bad.
It makes me stressed.
Being able to focus.
Exactly.
I was like, my God, but you just think about so much, so many things.
I'm the exact same.
And I really talked about someone who teach meditation, and he told me, you know, you don't have to meditate. Meditation is a state of mind that you can achieve through doing very different things. Walking. And I just realized, like, but for me, it's weightlifting.
Okay.
When I'm weightlifting, I'm so focused
okay,
that I'm in a kind of a state of meditation.
That's interesting, because for me, it's walking. Going for a walk, it really works for me.
For me, it's like just enhance my thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more than ever when I walk.
Yeah. It's so interesting how different things.
Yeah.
But I guess what I mean is like molding other people. Let's say, I guess I'm kind of thinking about business here, because it's, I guess, what I kind of, I'm always talking about. But it's like, let's say you're wanting to achieve something specific in business. Well, you see someone who's where you want to be. Or let's just say you're an author and they've achieved what you want to achieve. Just mold them. Not necessarily take everything that they've done.
What do you mean for an author? Because apart from like writing the book,
okay, well, that
I don't really see what you can do.
Okay, that was like a really random example. I obviously don't know much about authors, because like, but let's just say someone's in a position where you want to be. Let's say they're a CEO of a big company, or let's say they have all these followers on social media and they're sharing this amazing message, like you, right? Then they could basically, okay, figure out what it is that you've done in order to get where you are today.
But you know, this is something some people ask me. And I truly believe there is no formula. Like, I did not apply any technique to grow falling, so I do not know what people could do if they wanted to do the same.
But
why I really believe you should not think about the process on how to get there, but as we said, like, why do you want to get there? And I think you'll always find a way.
I agree.
If you're just, like, so passionate about what you do, but honestly, by trying, because of course with trying comes errors, but also come like success and knowing actually what you like and what you don't. And I think this is the best way to go where you want to go.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I guess like some of the things that I particularly mean is like, for example, you've posted on social media, you know, that's one of the things that you've done in order to show
consistency,
your message,
you mean, right? These kind of things.
And like, but not even just consistency, it's just the fact that you're posting. Like, some people wouldn't even think to post, right? They'd be too scared. They'd be afraid. And so it's, like, just putting your message out there, because then people know that, yeah, and then, like, the consistency as well, and just providing value. That's what you've done in order to get where you are today. And so if people were to then take a few lessons from that and apply it to their own situation, then they're going to be able to achieve a similar thing to what you've achieved, but in their own unique way. And so I think it all comes down to, yes, you want to be original, of course you do, but at the same time, you want to be your authentic self. And if you want to achieve something, then by all means take tips from other people. I think it's going to be the biggest shortcut for you to achieve your success. That's why I'm such a true believer in getting a mentor. And even just, you know, you don't have to even necessarily pay for a mentor, because I think mentors are people that you take. Like, I have tons of mentors who don't even know who the hell I am. I think there's a difference between a coach and a mentor. I think a coach is someone who shows you the step-by-step guide in order to get there, but then I think a mentor can be anyone who you're taking words of wisdom from, and on who you really kind of not necessarily look up to, but who you learn from and whose information you can just take for your own self in order to help you live the best life that you want to live.
Who are the mentors that learned you most that you want to share with our listeners?
Gosh, I mean, there's been so many. I guess at the beginning stages, it was more, I suppose, on my fitness journey. But now there's like, even someone, for example, my dad. my dad is a massive mentor to me. Even though he does nothing similar to whatever the hell I ever want to do in my life. He's an estate agent, you know, that's not what I want to do. He works an office job. But just some of the things that I've learned from him have been such golden nuggets. For example, he once said to me, you never lose, you learn. And I've just taken that and I've like ridden with it. And now I apply that to every element of my life. I'm not afraid of failing. I will literally try everything. And
that's
I don't care.
That's so beneficial because that's really something I didn't have in my family. And I find it so, I mean, there is so much you can learn just from your close entourage.
Your entourage. That's so funny that you say entourage because you know, kind of in boxing, like the boxing's become MMA and all the boxing.
Oh, yeah.
Like they always say kind of the entourage of the people that walk into the ring.
No,
I never realized it was a French word.
So violent.
Yeah.
But it's a French word, like the people surrounding you.
It's so funny. But
and because as you were saying, like sometimes I'm sure people want mentors, but we, at least in France, we really have this idea of like someone who chooses you to be, like, to be your mentor.
Yeah.
And so we feel like we maybe will never be able to have one. But as you said, it's really just people who you learn from.
Yeah.
And it can be anyone. And I think for me, it was my grandparents.
It's so interesting.
And as you said, because I really think we can learn so much from people who has experienced like so much in life.
I think
the wisdom of old people has always astonished me.
Definitely. And I think even podcasts. There's people who I listen to on podcasts who I'm like, for example, we earlier were talking about Lewis Howes. Now, as much as I don't really listen to his stuff anymore, but he has definitely been a mentor to me through the things that I've learned. And then there's just a bunch of random people from podcasts. It doesn't necessarily even need to be one person. It can be an accumulation of so many different people, but it's just learning through people who have a mindset that you want to have or who are in a position where you want to be. And this has been extremely beneficial to me because I think it's allowed me to build and develop my mindset and my business and equally my fitness as well through learning through these people. So of course there are coaches, but then listening to stuff like this, like what we're talking to now, people can find mentorship through us just through what we're saying. So I find it extremely fascinating.
So we talked about what has helped you a lot, but could you share with us maybe what has prevented you from going forward in the past and that you realized and that you're now not doing anymore and that maybe can help people doing through the same, like going through the same stage as you did?
Scrolling through social media. Has honestly, I don't do that anymore at all. And I now think of it as business media, not social media, because I'm using it to build, I suppose, my personal brand. And that's something that I'm massive about. But I think scrolling through social media has a time and a place. If you're wanting to connect with your friends, if you're wanting to see inspiration, and if you're following the right people. But if it's allowing you to just, if it's making you feel negative, or if you're following the wrong people, and if it's making you waste so much time, then stop. And it's hard to stop. It's really, really hard. And I think it just comes down to the fact, okay, let me analyze who I'm following. Again, let me analyze why I'm following them. If you're following them just because you think that they've got an amazing body, but realistically, when you go on their page, it makes you feel so bad about yourself, then it's going to be a better idea for you to unfollow them and follow some more positive and uplifting people. And maybe, I think for me, especially because I'm, like I mentioned, I'm so kind of in the business space and the whole entrepreneurship space. So for me, I just feel like it's not adding anything to my business when I'm scrolling through social media. So I wanna think of it, okay, I'm posting to social media to add value to people's lives, but sure, I'll listen to podcasts and stuff, but actually scrolling Instagram is just mind numbing and it's just literally doing nothing for me. Honestly, nothing. It's not helping me progress in any way, whether it's my fitness, my business, my mindset, it's not helping me. So stopping that has been so beneficial to me. Another thing for me, because I'm a morning person, and I never used to think I was a morning person. I used to think that I was kind of like a night owl, but it was just, as we were talking about, having a morning routine that has helped me so much. Waking up earlier, because it means that I get 2 hours. I used to wake up at 8, now I wake up at 6. And that sounds like so early. And if I were to say this to myself a year ago, I would have been like, that is not you speaking. But it has allowed me to achieve so much more because I have this time in the morning where I'm able to just really find deep work and just get my priorities done.
So you just wake up and you're straight into the work mindset. Because I find, like, I do not take that much time to like emerge, but it does take some time And maybe it takes like 45 minutes for me to really be ready, like to work and to put everything again in my work.
Yeah, so this is where the morning routine comes into place. So what I do is I have a wake up light, which is literally the best thing ever because it means that I don't have to wake up to a horrible alarm. And the fact that there's a light allows me to wake up naturally because that's how our bodies are conditioned to wake up just due to...
Did you buy one?
Yeah, on Amazon.
Which one is it?
It's a Philips one.
Okay.
You can just put the link in the show notes. Yeah. I'll send it to you. But basically, it's a light which it starts... getting light around 20 minutes before I'm supposed to wake up, so my body is able to get just start waking up. I don't know the exact science behind it, but it's something to do with all the hormones in our body which are keeping us asleep. So then I'll start waking up slowly, and then at the time that I wake up, so it starts at like 5:40, and then at 6 it just makes this gentle noise. It's like this kind of tune. It's not like beep 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 like my horrible.
I hate being waking up by an alarm.
Yeah, exactly.
Luckily, like I wake up naturally, but
yeah, even my old phone alarm was still a relatively nice sound, but it still wasn't as nice because when you wake up to a normal alarm, your body's in shock and it's just adding all this cortisol to and so when you have the wake up light, it wakes you up gently, it wakes you up elegantly, and because the fact that the light has already started to wake you up, when the sound comes on, it's not shocking and it's not making you feel scared. And so basically what happened is I then do that, I then wake up straight away, brush my teeth, wash my face, I'll then stretch for a little bit. But what I also do is I just practice some daily affirmations, and it sounds really stupid, and like when I tell other people about it I kind of cringe out a bit, but it's so good. So I do this while I'm actually still lying in bed. So I go, I am fit, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am strong, I am successful, today's gonna be a good day. And I say that, jump out of bed, brush my teeth, wash my face, and then I'll go downstairs and just finish my, just do my first unit of work. And that unit of work is the most important thing. It's my priority for the day. I get it done, I then go for a walk, and yeah, that's it really. That's.
I think that's a great way to make sure like you do what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we tend to postpone things.
And I, by the way, I don't check social media until I'm on my walk.
That's, I think that's something also that has helped me is not checking it first thing in the morning,
because
you don't know like what you're going to see, and so you don't know what is going to set your mindset for the day.
Exactly.
And as you said, I think there is nothing better than just decide the mindset you're going to have that day. And I think we don't realize that it's actually a choice we have.
Definitely, 100%. No, I
well
agree.
I'm so happy to have welcomed you on this podcast, Lauren.
Thank you.
An absolute blast to have you. So where do you want to redirect the people listening to this podcast right now who maybe want to know more about you and what you do?
Yeah, so I actually have a new podcast that has just come out called the Millennial Air Podcast, but I'll send you the link because it's kind of hard to type. So it's basically more focused on business, entrepreneurship, mindset for anyone who's into that. But for anyone who's into fitness, I have a podcast called the Business Meets Fitness Podcast. I'm then also on Instagram at Lauren Tickner. And so that's kind of my main platform that I built up quite a long time ago now. And then I have YouTube as well. So it's my name, Lauren Tickner.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you, merci.
Au revoir. I am really happy you joined us for this discussion with Lauren. If you enjoyed it, please let us know by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and by talking about it around you. This is what supports the podcast most. I will talk to you very soon on Instagram at mybetterself or in the next episode of Empower. Bye bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.